All God's people shouted. Oh, thank you so much, Stephanie. Thank you. And thank you for, thank you for lifting up that reminder of PVC Christmases past. Anybody remember any of those wonderful days where we just had to, the house was just absolutely packed and we had people working their way, kind of in shifts trying to work their way through the buffet line and all the fun and all the connections and all those good things. And just to remember and look back to that, because it really helps to right now for me this year to look back and kind of remember good stuff. I know that I've been listening and hearing this news about the surge and the hospitals filling and so many deaths and just so much loss, and there's a part of me that is beginning to actually begun to wonder, is it going to be always winter, never Christmas? Are we going to actually experience that this year? Always winter, never Christmas? And then I came in on Wednesday, and what a beautiful sight to see the church. Just 1 week ago, this was all with Thanksgiving and autumn decor and all, and here it is. And I called up Anna Kirkwood. I said, Anna, thank you. And Colette, thank you. And Steve, thank you. Thank you so much for what you've come and just done here to help bring the joy. And then it just started to come back into my heart. I go, okay, nope, you can't cancel Christmas. No matter what's happened, we can't cancel this. This is a time where we come together and we rejoice in the Advent, in the first Advent of Christ. Amen? We come and we rejoice in it together and we give him thanks and we just are so grateful for God's great love that he would give the greatest, thank you for that song, the greatest gift ever given. It's the greatest gift that God has given that we would have life in Jesus' name. So let's pray together as we open God's word today and we know that his spirit is present where two or three are gathered. He's there in the midst of us and he has a blessing in store for each one of us this day. Lord God, thank you. Thank you for this privilege to be together in the name of Jesus, to be together as the family of God, and to rejoice together in your goodness, your grace, your mercy, your blessing, the joy of salvation in Christ Jesus. And Lord, this day, as we open your word and we look for the response to the invitation that you've given, may our hearts respond to you as our prayer in the name of Jesus. Amen. So I'm going to ask a question, and this will kind of quickly separate out generationally, I think. Here we go. So don't be, be brave. Here we go. Anybody here ever held in their hands a Sears and Roebuck catalog? Come on, Hannah. Come on. Sears, Roebuck catalog? No? Okay. All right. There are people trying to slip. Okay. Good. Okay, the Sears Roebuck catalog, and so boys and girls, you have no idea how exciting it was when that would arrive at the house. And I don't know when it was. It must have been sometime in October when that catalog would arrive at the house, and it would come. The mail would come in from the mailbox, and there it was, wrapped in that plain brown wrapper kind of thing. And there it was. And for my sister and I, this was a moment to like dash to see who could get it first. And I got to admit that if my mom wasn't there to intervene, then I would, as the older brother, exercise, the might is right rule. And the spirit of this is not the spirit of Christmas, okay? But there it was. Might is right. I got it first. Boom. Get the, tear off the cover, that wrapper. And for me, of course, I went straight to the toy section. Oh, man. I don't know if there's anything like this. I mean, I know you can kind of go online and kind of scroll down on Amazon, but it's all the same stuff on that page. And there's nothing like this. I mean, you just go, oh, and you open these pages and they're just all of the, I mean, and I'm writing, I'm looking for Lincoln Logs and electric trains, a baseball mitt. Every year I was hoping to get maybe a baseball mitt that would be a little bit better, a little bit better. I wouldn't make as many errors next year, all those things. And maybe the red bicycles there in the back and check those out and all that kind of good and fun stuff. And I, of course, never went to the Sears Roebuck catalog. I never went to it empty-handed. I always went to it with, a red pencil or a red pen in my, and I knew where to go, that drawer in the kitchen, get the red pen, and I would turn to that page, and I would circle it, and then I'd just do my, in my house it was GEO, that was me, Joe, but GEO or GO, and I'd do my GEO, and well, boom, of course, not that my mom thought my sister wanted the baseball mitt at that point anyway, she knew it was me, but I was circling that, and the different things that she would want, and she would circle hers, and then, of course, my brother and sister, the younger brother and sister, so when we got to where all four of us were doing this, it could get pretty crowded in there, and I knew that my mom and dad, they loved us. We felt their love, and we knew they wanted to give us what we were asking for. They wanted to say yes, because love gives. Amen? I mean, love gives. And so they wanted to say yes. But here's the reality, and I'm not trying to make it sound like we were poor. We weren't poor. My dad was a pastor. We had four kids, and kids going to church school, know what I mean? And that cost a few dollars. But we were there, and my mom stayed home and raised the kids until everyone went to school. So I can remember that when my dad's check would come at the end of the month, like maybe the last 3 days of the month, that check would show up in the mail. And they would go, mom and dad would then say, okay, we'll be back soon. They would go and they'd cash the check or deposit it. And then they would go and they would buy the groceries for the month. And they would buy all those groceries and bring them home. And I always, when they get home, I'd help carry the bags in, and then we'd start unpacking, and I was always looking for that one special box. And we went to a store called A&P. Anybody ever heard of that? It was called Atlantic and Pacific Groceries, the A&P stores. But that was the grocery store, and they went to A&P. Maybe that's an East Coast thing, I don't know. But we'd go there, and I was waiting, and out would come that box of A&P oatmeal cookies. Ooh, that was so good. And so we say, mom said, okay, we're gonna have that for dessert tonight. And we get to dessert for that night, and we have the meal, and then we go, and mom would open that up, and each of us would get one cookie. And that was our dessert for the next 13, 14 days, as long as that lasted. And if nobody went and snuck a cookie during the day or during a different deal, we would last a little bit longer. And we'd have, and then, but once those cookies were out, we were waiting for the next check for cookies the next time. So I know my mom and my dad wanted to get those gifts that I had, all 16 of them that I had circled. I know they wanted to give those to me. But there was a reality of a budget that we were following in our home. And that reality meant that as much as they wanted to give, they might not have the resources to do that. In fact, they didn't have the resources. So it kept me always hoping for the next year and the next year for certain gifts. This thing called Advent is about someone who loves us and who wants to give. What does he say there? We all know the verse, you know, for God so loved the world that he love gives. God so loved the world that he gave. And he gave, as the song, you know, the very best gift. You know, the greatest gift he could ever give. That's the gift he gave to us in Christ Jesus our Lord. And he gave the gift, God so loved the world, that he gave his only begotten son. He gave this gift that he gave his only begotten son. By the way, when you hear the word begotten, don't think that was sometime in the ancient, way back in eternity, because they were together from forever. They were together, Father, Son, and Spirit, in this circle of self-giving love. Just that's the reality. At the heart of reality is not God all by himself going, oh man, I'm lonely. No, it's God together in this triunity, Father, Son, and Spirit, and in self-giving love, it all the way back. The begotten part is that Jesus is begotten now as the one who will, as one of us, become the true Son of God that Adam was meant to be, and Abraham, and Isaac, and Jacob, and David, and all, you know, that's what was meant. He says, okay, God loved us so much that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him will not perish. This goes right to the heart of our need. Because you and I do not have life in ourselves. We're not self-sourced, are we? This is gift. This is God's gift to us. This is the original gift, the gift of creation itself. So it's not self-sourced, and therefore we are dependent. And our lives are contingent on the constant giving of the one who is our both our creator and our redeemer, the lover of our souls. And so God loved the world so much that he gave his only begotten son that whoever believes in him will not perish. And all of the needs that come out, whether it's a need for groceries or whether it's a need for that red shiny bicycle, or all of it comes out of that I'm not the source of this, it all comes as gift. And that's the yes that God was speaking into us, into the human race, as he gave. Love gives. And what is love? How does love give? By saying yes to meet the deepest needs of those who are his creatures, you and me, those made in his image and being restored to his image in Christ. So this yes, we go back and we think of that first advent, the coming of Christ. And if you have your Bible, turn with me over to Luke. Turn with me to Luke chapter 1. We are not going to go in depth into the story today. We're going to have more kind of like see the big picture. We're going to see the big picture this morning. But here's the reality. It took a lot of yeses. It took a lot of yeses to pull off the first Christmas. And who is the first guy that was given the opportunity, the first shot at saying yes? His name was Zechariah. Zechariah. Zechariah married to his wife named Elizabeth, and he was a priest, served in the temple. He would go there when it was his turn to serve, and they would cast lots and see who's up for which time, and he would go in there. And the story, as we pick it up there in Luke 1, Zechariah and Elizabeth, is that verse 6 tells us that these two were both righteous before God, walking blamelessly in all their commandments and the statutes of the Lord. But they had no child because Elizabeth was barren and both were advanced in years. That gives us the setting. Here it is. And here's a man whose turn comes to go to the temple. Verse 9, he was chosen by lot to enter the temple and burn the incense. And so he goes to do this in the afternoon, the evening prayer. And the whole multitude of people are waiting outside at the hour of incense. And what happens? An angel of the Lord appears on the right side of the altar of incense. Now, this guy, he's not like he doesn't know what's going on. He knows. He knows the reality. He knows the stories. He knows the reality. And he knows that God has time and again has met with his people. He also knows that if this angel stands on the right side of the altar, that means favor. Yes. This means this is good news. This is going to come. This is coming from God, and this is good. So he knows those things. And then he hears this angel, and he said, he felt afraid, but the angel said, "Do not be afraid. Do not be afraid. Your prayer has been heard. Your wife Elizabeth will bear you a son. You shall call his name John." And he tells the story how he's going to be great before the Lord, filled with the Holy Spirit, even from his mother's womb. He will turn many of the children of the Lord to their God. That's verse 16. He will go for him in the spirit and power of Elijah. That Elijah message that had been promised right there in the last verses of the Old Testament. Here it is. Now that fulfillment is coming. And Zechariah, here's the announcement. And Zechariah hears it, and he listens, and then he says what? Verse 18. Zechariah said to the angel, "How do I know you're not pulling my leg?" What? What? What is it? I mean, what are you talking about? How do I know you're not? How do I know this? The actual words, "How shall I know this? How do I know if you're telling me the truth?" Are you kidding me? Really? You're going to, and he goes, "How do I really know if you're, how do I know this? How do I know this isn't, you're not just toying with us?" Or, I mean, oh man, oh man. I mean, Zechariah, what a response. His next words are, "I am an old man. My wife is advanced of years." Hold it. Do you not remember the story of Abraham and Sarah? Did you not grow up on that story, Zechariah? You know. And here, how do you ask the question, how do I know you're telling me the truth? Verse 19, the angel answered, I am Gabriel. I wish I could do it. I wish I had a deep voice. I'd boom this one. I am Gabriel. I mean, by the way, when's the last time we saw Gabriel in the Bible? The prophet Daniel. He was with Daniel. And now all this gap, and he's been waiting, and the Lord says, now, go. Now is the moment. The fullness of time has come. Go. Start hit the first domino here. We're going to go. This is all go. And Gabriel goes, and he goes, I'm Gabriel. I stand in the presence of God. I was sent to speak to you and bring you this good news. I'm bringing you good news, man. By the way, Gabriel comes from the throne of God, brings you good news, and you go, how can I be sure you're telling me the truth? Is that dumb? How many say that's dumb? That's really dumb. And so Gabriel goes, yeah, that's dumb. For the next 9 months, you're going to be struck dumb. Can we do a little dumb and dumber here? Here it goes. 9 months. 9 months, you get to not be able to, you can't form words. For 9 months, your tongue is tied. You are not speaking. For 9 months, you get to ponder the reality of what God is doing. Whew. So, Zechariah, the guy who has the first shot at saying God's yes to us, and the first one that gets the response yes, gets to respond, fumbles the ball. You know, he boots it. He just, whew. But the first person who says yes is whom? It's Elizabeth. It's his wife, Elizabeth. And it's down in verse 25, at 424, his wife, Elizabeth, conceived. For 5 months, she kept herself hidden, saying, thus the Lord has done to me in the days when he looked on me to take away my reproach among the people. In another translation, it says, he showed me this kindness. He has shown me this kindness. She's the one that's saying yes to what God is offering, to what God is saying, this is my gift. And she says yes. The first yes is Elizabeth. The second yes is her cousin Mary. And I tell you, we're not going to unpack the Mary story. Pastor Emily will share that next Sabbath. But what we will say about it is this. In the story of Mary, what we see there is, here's a young woman who we understand to have been a teenager. We do not know her exact age, but we know that she was betrothed to a man named Joseph, not yet married, not yet come together. And yet here comes the angel Gabriel, and he's saying, you're going to have a little one. She too asks a question. But her question is so interesting. Her question is, she says, how can this be since I'm a virgin? She's not saying, how do I know you're telling me the truth? She's saying, okay, God, how are you going to do this? For her, it's faith seeking understanding. That's very different than the spirit of Zechariah, who's there challenging and going, I'm not sure I can really trust this word that just came from the throne of God. So there's the lack of trust. Here's trust. What I love with Mary in verse 38, she says, behold, I am the servant of the Lord. Let it be to me according to your word. And the angel departed from her. Let it be to me. This is Mary's yes. So you've got Elizabeth, Zechariah, who says no. You got Elizabeth, who says yes. You got Mary, who says yes. And now we come to the next player, and his name is Joseph. Now, if anybody had a right to say no, it's Joseph. Okay? I mean, here he is. They're betrothed. That means they've signed the papers. They belong. They're to break a betrothal was the equivalent of divorce in the ancient world. So betrothal has already taken place. To break that, this is a big deal. And they've got a date set. They're ready to go. And then he receives the word that Mary's with child. What? And she tries to tell him this account. And he's just, huh? And he just goes, ah. And the scripture actually tells us. In fact, go from Luke over to Matthew 1. From Luke 1 to Matthew 1. We go to Matthew 1. In verse 19, says her husband Joseph is a just man, unwilling to put her to shame. He said, okay, I'm just going to divorce her quietly. I mean, this is serious stuff. I mean, there's even Old Testament laws about stoning to death in a situation like this. I mean, this is very serious, very, very serious. And he says, okay, I'm going to do this thing quietly. We're just going to let this in. And he considers this, and he falls asleep, and an angel of the Lord comes and says, Joseph, son of David. I'm in verse 20. Don't fear to take Mary, your wife, for that which is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. Wow. It's one of the verses I learned in first grade when I went to that little church school. The little church school in a place called Cowdersport, Pennsylvania, kind of the center of the state, right up near the New York state line, maybe a half hour from New York state line, and way up in the middle of the wilderness up there. In our little school, one-room school with eight grades in it, and there were maybe 12 kids, I don't remember, but there weren't many of us. And you know, I remember we had the big Christmas play, and the big Christmas pageant, I got to be one of the wise men. And remember, my mom took a church hymnal and wrapped it up in tinfoil, you know, and that was me carrying that down the, you know, and supposed to sing the song, you know, and I had my bathrobe on, and it was great for my mom. Not so great for me. I was really nervous and all the rest, but my mom and my dad loved it, you know, and we did that. And I remember us memorizing together, "You shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins." Whew. I love that name, Jesus. You know, Jesus, God to the rescue. God to the rescue. This is a God. Remember, love gives. Love gives. And love gives no matter what it costs. Love gives. And it says here that he will save his people from their sins to fulfill what the Lord spoke by the prophet. Behold, the virgin shall conceive, bear a son. They'll call his name Emmanuel. What does the name Emmanuel mean? God with us. God with us just in Bible times? How about God with us this morning? God with us in our lives right now. God with us in the midst of this whole coronavirus, this COVID-19 thing. God with us. God never leave us or forsake us. Joseph woke from sleep. He did as the angel of the Lord commanded him. He took his wife and knew her not until she had given birth to a son, and he called his name Jesus. There it is, Yeshua, Joshua, God to the rescue. Beautiful picture, powerful picture. Joseph said yes. Zechariah said no. Elizabeth said yes. Mary said yes. Joseph said yes. But now we need to go to, kind of go behind the curtain to see the biggest yes. And it's kind of, you might call it the primal yes. It's the yes that made Advent, Christmas possible. We go to Philippians chapter 2. Philippians 2, and let's go and look at this yes. And we're going to Philippians 2. And this God who so loved the world, for God so loved the world. We just kind of say the word, for God so loved the world. Well, of course he did. We're kind of lovable, aren't we? You know, we're kind of lovable. And yeah, we're lovable. Why wouldn't he love the world? Oh, man, we have no idea. I mean, we can barely comprehend this reality. This week I went to my device and I just Googled and just said, how many galaxies are there? How many galaxies in the universe? Anybody know what answer I got? 2 million? 2 billion? 2 trillion. That's a 2 with how many zeros behind it? I got schooled this morning, but how many zeros behind it? 12 zeros. Huh? Yeah. Hubble telescope makes it possible for the astronomers to make the case and say there are in the universe that we know of 2 trillion planets? No. Stars? No. Galaxies. 2 trillion galaxies. A 2 with 12 zeros. I mean, the Milky Way. I love it when we go out at night. We had the privilege of being in Joseph, out there in Joseph this summer. I'll tell you, I walked out there and I looked up. It was just like it was so close you could almost touch it. It was just no lights out there in the edge of Oregon out there. And oh man, oh man, oh man. It was just like, oh, that's one little galaxy. And it's stuck way off in the corner somewhere of this galaxy. It's a galaxy. Milky Way, there's nothing quote unquote special about this, but it's one galaxy among 2 trillion. And then stuck off in the corner of the Milky Way is this one little grain of sand that we call planet Earth. This is beyond comprehension. It's just like, huh? It's like you take all the grains of sand on all the beaches and all the deserts all together on planet Earth. It's that. And you're going to, wow. I mean, look at the language here. Verse 5, Philippians 2 and verse 5. And it says, have this mind among yourselves, which is yours in Christ Jesus. Okay, let's have a mind like Christ. Here's Christ. Am I still right here? Okay. Have this mind in you, which is in Christ Jesus. So the mind that we have in Christ is a mind like the Father, Son, and Spirit, who have this agape, this self-giving love, that this reality of self-giving, and let me give to you, this is the heart of reality, the creation of this good God. And here it is, have that mind in your mind. You have it in Christ. You don't get it by working for it. This is God's gifting to you in the act of redemption. But have that mind, the act of redemption, who though he was in the form of God, yep, he is God with God. In fact, what is John chapter 1? In the beginning was the Word was with God, the Word was God. And everything that was made through him. This one, have that mind in you. Though he's in the form of God, did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped, but made himself nothing. Literally nothing? Actually, no. No, not literally nothing. He went from being the God who spoke galaxies into existence and created from the beginning. That God became a one-celled creature, a zygote, in the womb of the Virgin Mary. There's no way. We to try to grasp this, there is no way that you and I can do it. The closest we come to finding a word for this, as Paul calls it, the indescribable gift. It is indescribable. The closest we come in human language is the Hallelujah Chorus. I heard it this morning on Family Radio 89.5. Family Radio 89.5, wonderful Christmas music. Oh, wow. But there it was. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You want to sing with me? Okay. I know you do. Okay. So we'll do it after. But that's the closest word we can come. We can't find words. Just hallelujah, 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 which means praise the Lord, praise the Lord. That's the word that we use, that's the closest we can come. And I love that at the end where everybody stands together, you know, and sings the Hallelujah Chorus to the God for his great gift he's given us in Christ. In the form of God, he did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped, but made himself nothing. Taking the form of a servant. In the Greek, doulos, what is that? It's the word for bondservant, for slave. That's who the great God of the universe becomes on a grain of sand somewhere out. What? Putting it all on the line, risking everything? You talk about love. Remember what we said? Love gives. Love gives. He took the form of a servant. He was being born in the likeness of men, of mankind. Being found in human form, he humbled himself. Sister White says that he came down, 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 and then all the way down into the pit, death on a cross. humbled. Boom, 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 boom. By becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. I love the next verses because the next verses are really, they're really a Christmas carol. Therefore, God has highly exalted him, bestowed him the name that is above every name. At the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven, on earth, under the earth, and every tongue confess. Here's the carol. Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Hallelujah, hallelujah. There it is. There it is. Wow. He said yes. Jesus said yes. Wow. Zechariah said no. By the way, his heart, it was a heart for God. And he said yes later, after his 9 months of being dumb. Okay, but Zechariah said no. Elizabeth said yes. Mary said yes. Joseph said yes. God so loved that he said yes. And Jesus becomes the only begotten Son, and he said yes all the way to death, even death on a cross. Whew. And because of that, God said yes, and Jesus, exalted at the right hand of the Father, is there. And today he's pouring his Holy Spirit into our hearts. And he invites us to join him in his yes. What does his yes look like? We're going to look at one more verse. It's in Hebrews. Go to Hebrews. One more yes in Hebrews. And it's Hebrews chapter 10. Hebrews 10. In this word, 10 verse 5, it says, consequently, when Christ, okay, consequently, when the Messiah, the Anointed One, when Christ came into the world, he said, so this is a incarnation verse. This is right talking about when he comes and becomes, this is what Christmas is all about right here. He says, consequently, when Messiah came into the world, he said, sacrifice and offering you have not desired, but a body you've prepared for me. Starting out as a little zygote. In burnt offerings and sin offerings, you've taken no pleasure. Yes, those offerings point forward, but in themselves, that shedding of blood is not solving this sin issue. And then is verse 7, here it comes. When Christ came into the world, he said, and here it is, verse 7, behold, I have come to do your will, O God. Whew. Does that sound like yes to you? Behold, I have come to do your will, O God. That's his yes. And he declares, yes, I've come to do your will, O God, as is written in me of the scroll of the book in prophecy. I've come and I say yes. The only Bible, the only baby in human history to make his or her entry saying yes to God's will. Am I right on that one? Parents, let me know what you think. See, my mom was, okay, I didn't come into this world saying, I've come to do God's will. I came into this world saying, I came to do my will. Okay, that's us. That's who we are, sons and daughters of Adam and Eve. And that's where we are, this side of Eden, east of Eden, this is where we are. I've come to do my will. Here comes a baby into this world who comes in saying, I have come to do your will. And I love it. When you look at his life, even when he has his disciples, he gets to his disciples and he says, they say, teach us to pray. And he says, okay, pray like this. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Not only does Jesus come to do his Father's will, he teaches his disciples, this is what our life is to be about, to do his will. And when you come to the end of his life, look how he's bookended here. Bookended from his coming into the world, saying, I've come to do your will, in Gethsemane, the last night of his life on earth. And what does he do? What does he say? Father, please take this cup away from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but yours be done. Yes, yes, yes. That's what this story is all about. This is what Advent is all about. The question is, will I say yes to this God? Is this God speaking to you? Has this God been engaging you? still small voice calling you? Some area of your life not yet surrendered to trust him and invite him in? Okay, God, I'll give you this. But I really want this. I'm going to hold this one for myself. You look at it. The innkeeper? No. The shepherds? Yes. Herod? No. The wise men? Yes. What about you? What about me? What are we going to do with this Jesus? Just kind of blow him off and wrap another present? You know, circle another gift in the catalog? Or say yes to the one who is our life? And it's my privilege this morning to let you know, to give my testimony, that it's when I said yes to Jesus, and as I continue to say yes, that I find that he is my life. He is my life. And I experience the deepest joy, the joy I've been seeking my whole life, and not finding it here, but finding it in him. Let's stand together. Joy to the world. The Lord is come.